With Montana News, I'm Shaylee Reger. Westmoreland Coal Company, the Colorado-based owner of three coal mines in Montana, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in federal court today. Westmoreland owns the Rosebud Mine, which supplies Colstrip's power plants, the Absaloka Mine on the Crow Indian Reservation, and a third smaller mine near the North Dakota border. Company officials say the filing is part of a restructuring agreement with an unnamed group of lenders to deal with steep debt and declining world demand. In Montana, demand for coal from the Rosebud Mine is expected to drop when two of the four units of the Colstrip power plant cease operations in 2022. The Absaloka Mine has already seen demand drop. Company officials say operations won't be interrupted and there are no expected staff reductions. Court filings show the company has $770 million in assets and $1.4 billion in debt. Glacier National Park has closed the top section of the Going to the Sun Road for the remainder of the winter season. More sections will close as the season progresses. A park press release says crews still need to clear more than 450 log rail pieces along the famous highway prior to avalanche season. This week's forecast predicts freezing temperatures in the park. In Yellowstone National Park, Dunraven Pass is remaining open, weather permitting, until November 5th. It had been scheduled to close today. A Yellowstone press release says keeping Dunraven Pass open will alleviate traffic caused by the fishing bridge closure and construction between Norris and Mammoth Hot Springs. A year after losing a $300 million no-bid contract to restore Puerto Rico's hurricane-shattered electric grid, Whitefish Energy Holdings has quietly been seeking and winning U.S. government contracts. The company, from Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke's hometown of Whitefish, lost their contract to restore power in Puerto Rico amid concerns about the prices being charged. The company has since won a $225,000 job from the Interior Department and a more than $1 million contract from the Energy Department. The Interior Department denied that Zinke played any role in the contract award. State, federal, and tribal wildlife officials are figuring out what returning Yellowstone area grizzly bears to the endangered species list means for managing other populations of the animal. The federal court ruling in Missoula last month relisting the bears said it was illegal to strip federal protections for one population of grizzlies without taking into account how that might affect members of the other species elsewhere in the lower 48. A meeting on one of the six areas designated to support grizzlies, the Bitterroot ecosystem, which contains parts of Montana and Idaho, was postponed this morning since a number of stakeholders weren't able to attend. Chuck Mark, chair of the Bitterroot subcommittee of the Intra-Agency Grizzly Bear Committee, a coalition of groups that oversees grizzly recovery, says that federal court ruling sets up a key question for the subcommittee when it is able to meet. Although some adventurous males have been spotted nearby, Mark says the Bitterroot doesn't yet have any resident bears, but they're getting closer and closer. Wildlife managers hope that grizzly populations in the lower 48 will eventually connect and even interbreed. They say this is especially likely between residents of the two largest grizzly groups, which live in the areas around Glacier and Yellowstone National Parks. Those connections are likely to happen in or near the Bitterroot. The subcommittee is in the process of rescheduling the meeting for November. Separate meetings on the Yellowstone ecosystem will be held by teleconference on November 1st and on all grizzlies in the lower 48 on December 11th and 12th in Missoula. I'm Shaylee Reger, Montana Public Radio.